St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." He wrote, "Be imitators of God." What does that mean? What does it mean for us to imitate God? When we think of imitation, we like to think of just mimicking or copying someone's behavior. But when Paul says, be imitators, he means more than that. It's not just copying what you see on the surface. It just doesn't concern only our behavior, but it concerns all of our life, all of ourselves, and our entire existence. Being imitators of God means to reflect the image of God that is within us. That's what it means to be imitators of God, to reflect the image of God that is within us. In other words, it has to do with living the way that we are all made to live. And that is the way of love. We are made in the image of God, who is love. That's what John said. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. So all of us, as human beings, we are made to love and to live in love. That, I believe, is the essence of Christian anthropology, meaning Christian understanding of what it means to be human. I believe that that is our basic and fundamental disposition. Some people might say that we are just neutral. When we are born, we are like a blank slate, and anything can happen. The Christian understanding of what it means to be human is that we were formed and shaped in the image of God, and that is our starting point. And even when we are born, love is what we first experience when we first enter into this world. And as children, we often see that we freely give and receive love from others. Those of you that worked as counselors at our summer camp last month have seen that often, that children are just willing to receive all the love that they can get, and then they just freely share that love with whoever is around them. Yet somehow as we get older, we seem to lose this capacity for love that we've been shaped in. Rightly so. The disappointments and hurts that we experience along the way, they harden our hearts. We close up, withdraw, and we become selective about to whom we will show our love. So we begin to discriminate. To this person, I'll show as much love as I could possibly can. But to this person, I'll withhold my love from them because I just want to do that. We are constantly holding back. That's what I often see. Like, they want to love, but yet at the same time, they just hold themselves back. Even though we very know well that when we love, that is when we become most alive. The look on our faces, our entire being just comes fully alive when we love one another. Yet as we get older, we learn how to be nice, but not be kind. We say, it's good enough just to be nice to others, but we don't know how to be kind to one another. In other words, rather than just reflecting the image of God that is within us, we learn to bury it. Just press it deep down and just bury that image within us. Last week, Reverend Simon briefly shared about Sioux Valley, his experiences there. And during his report, he briefly mentioned about the youths in Sioux Valley. He compared the children and the youth. So he said, on the one hand, the children are very receptive and responsive to love. Immediately, they just come alive. The youths, not so much. We took a photo from there. I think that was like the first day we were there together. A bunch of them showed up. And I think as the days went on, some of them left and there were others who came in. They're a bunch of really good group of kids. But what you don't see there, but what you experience when you go there is that the youths are more closed off, guarded, and evasive. So it takes more time and effort to get past the hard exterior. So a lot of times in the beginning, when you talk to them, they won't even look at you. They won't even make eye contact. So you're almost a lot of effort, energy is spent on trying to get them to stay in one place because they're always trying to scurry off somewhere while you're talking to them. And some of our young people had a very hard time with that. I think they got frustrated at times too. It's like, I'm trying to get to know them and I'm trying to talk to them and it's like, there's not much response. So they start thinking, am I doing something wrong? There's something wrong with me? But the reality is that's just how it is with them. So on the final day as a wrap-up activity, some of the counselors had the youths do warm and fuzzies together. Anyone know what warm and fuzzies are? It's the high C retreat tradition, I think. It's where you pass like the paper bags around with the person's name and then you write a little note that makes your heart warm and fuzzy. So we decided to get all the youths to do this together. But even to get all of them to sit around a table was a challenge because it was clear that some of them didn't like the others. So they didn't want to sit at a table together. Not so much the boys, but it was the girls. So when you're trying to get, hey guys, let's, you know, come sit down and let's do this together, and like they're just all kind of hesitating, but eventually they all sat down. But you could see, ooh, the resentment in their eyes. It's like, it was scary. They wouldn't even smile. But we still told them, hey, write a positive note of affirmation and encouragement to each other. Try it, even if you don't want to. And I thought some of them were going to throw a fit. But thankfully, all of them did it without a complaint. And the ironic thing was, some of them couldn't wait to look inside the bag as they were finishing up. Even those who didn't seem interested at first. So after we were done, I asked the youths, why do you think we did something like this? And one of them raised their hand and said, to be nice and kind. So I said, that's good. Then I shared what I'm reflecting with all of us today. I shared with them that I believe that we are all made in the image of God. That means I believe that we are all perfectly capable of showing our love and care to each other, whether we think or not. I believe all of us are perfectly capable of doing that. But we can only do that as long as we learn to let go and not hold back that part of ourselves. So I said, look at the notes you got in your bag. They should be the visible reminders of that. You tried and you had something down that you couldn't verbally express to the other person before. So I told them, even after this camp, even after we're gone, try to do that for each other. But to be honest, I did not plan on saying that when I said it right there and then. I just thought, we're going to do this, then we're going to wrap up, and we're going to go. But as I was sitting there, looking at them, somehow I just felt in that moment to share that message with these group of people. I felt like God had laid that message upon my heart to do it right there and then. Because at the end of the day, what does everything come down to? What ultimately counts in the end? Is it how much we have? Is it what we have achieved? What ultimately counts in the end? It's love. Without love, life becomes cold and unbearable. Without love, there is no such thing as second chances. Community becomes divided and broken. Because wherever people gather, there is bound to be problems and conflict. So without love, any community will become divided and broken. And there is no possibility of any meaningful change from happening. When love is absent, everything just falls apart. And it is something we take so often for granted that even what holds our life up here in this very moment is love. It's God's love shown to us. It's love that's been given to us by someone else. And yet we think it's us who's doing all the work. And the irony is that we often resist this kind of message. Whenever love is mentioned, conceptually we agree. We'll say, of course I know that. But deep down, we have this immediate reaction. It's talking about love again. We think to uphold love like that is too idealistic. We just conclude by saying, it's just too difficult to love others. I just like loving the people that are in my circle, and whoever is beyond it is just too difficult to love others. Why? Because they're just too stubborn, too contradictory, and unpredictable. It's too tiring. If so, then what is the alternative then? Hate? You might say, that's too strong of a word. Okay then. Indifference? Sounds like a safer option. But even indifference is a form of hate. And what would be the implications for us of living such a life? My friends, the message of love that is embedded in our gospel is not meant for only certain people in a specific community. The message of love that is embedded in our gospel is a message that is meant for all of us. No one is exempt from this message. We all need to reclaim the image of God, and as St. Paul said today, be imitators of God in our own life. That is what Jesus came to do. What did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to restore the image of God within us through his love. The image of God that we had buried so deep within us, he came to restore the image of God through love. And through Jesus, we see a very concrete definition of what love is. When we look at Jesus, we see that love is not just some warm and fuzzy feelings that we harbor towards each other. We see that love is being completely and totally for the other person. That's why it's so difficult to be completely and totally for the other person. That is why for our sake, Jesus went all the way to the cross. The cross is where we see that. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus tore down that power of hostility that divided us with God and us from each other. St. Paul understood that very clearly. That's why earlier in Ephesians he said this, "For he," when he says he is Christ, "is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is, the hostility between us, abolishing the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it." Because of Christ, we are now free to love as he loved us. That means we are able to choose. Rather than just being swayed by our feelings, by the hostility within us, we are no longer ruled by those things. The good news of our faith is that we've been now given the power to love one another. I believe that everything, all our decisions, boil down to this one thing. Are we going to proceed in the way of love, or are we not? In our word and action, everything counts. That's why right after calling us to be imitators of God, St. Paul said this, be imitators of God and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Being imitators of God and walking in love, these two go hand in hand. Yeah, when you read the beginning of today's passage, I don't know if you kind of felt this way, but much of today's passage reads like just a list of moral things to do that we should just somehow carry out. Don't speak falsehood, but truth. Don't sin while you're angry. Don't steal, but share and do honest work. Don't tear down people with words, but build them up. Put away all bitterness and be kind to others. But these are not merely some separate individual acts that we can just kind of pick and choose. Like, I'll do that, but not this one. Rather, when you read the passage all in one context, you see that all of these things are anchored by the last two verses which we are reflecting on today. They're all manifestations of walking in love. That when we walk in love, all these things will follow. Rather, we just try to focus on all the surface things. And then when they don't work right, it's like, forget it. We give up. But all these things that St. Paul mentions are what happens when each one of us are concerned with the good and well-being of those around us. Where the imitators of God are gathered, there is the church. The church is not a gathering, just a simple gathering of families and friends. The church is more than that. Church is an eclectic gathering of broken people who strive to be imitators of God in a genuine and authentic way. That is what church is. It is not just a gathering of my people. It is a gathering of broken people who strive to be imitators of God. It is where the commandment of love is not just uttered in words, but practiced in truth and in action. It is where the presence of Christ is felt in a real way. Jesus gave a very succinct definition of what community faith is. And this is what he said. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Where three people, two or three people are gathered in the spirit of love and in the name of Christ, that's where the church is. And I would say this was the experience of my mission trip in a nutshell. This year, our mission trip was a little different than last year in a sense that this year we had a couple people from a different church join us. So it was almost like a co-church mission in a way. We had a few members from our London church join our team. And this, both Simon and I had some concerns at the beginning before we left because we didn't have a lot of time to really kind of build, get to know one another, and build that bond before we go on the mission trip. Because once we get there, we don't really have time to do that because we're just kind of in the moment and in terms of what's going on in Sioux Valley. But when we got there the whole week, much to our surprise, the two churches got along very well. You're like, wow, this is amazing to see. We were different. But somehow, in that environment, there was that willingness to understand, serve, and look out for one another that helped instill a sense of unity within the team. But it wasn't all smooth sailing, though. Any mission trip is an intense experience. There's really no chance to kind of slow down and think. Everything is fast-paced. Everything is heightened. It's very high intensity. And this year, as you heard last week, we had a lot of unexpected changes and challenges. Because of those things, we had to deal with sometimes some tensions that came up in our even own sort of immediate committee and team. In the situation that we are in, I think it could have been very easy for us to just kind of be cold and reactive. Just sort of ignore one another and then just say, okay, you know what? Let's just wait till this mission is done and then we'll go back. But rather than letting it negatively affect the unity of the team, we learned to discuss and work it out, no matter how difficult it was. What is love if not that precisely? And because of that, you sense that there was a slightly greater understanding between the members. And during that, through that experience, you gain a glimpse of what living together as a church is like. In our journey together, let us be imitators of God. Reflect the image of God within you by walking in love. Don't bury it. Don't bury the image of God from being reflected through you. Because St. Paul said, when you bury it, it grieves the Spirit. Rather, let that image shine through you. This is our calling as a body of Christ. To forgive, to understand, and to persevere with one another no matter what. There is no other alternative. It is to be patient with each other. I'm not talking about short-term patience, long-term patience. We may get frustrated, disappointed, hurt, all these kinds of things along the way. But can we truly be patient with one another in the long term and journey together? Because if God is always for us, as we like to say, then why should we not always be for each other? If God is always for us, then we should always be for each other. And when the image of God shines brightly, that is when we live out our calling to be His witness in this world. Our theme this year is be a witness. What does it mean to be a witness? It is to let your light shine brightly. Not just only as individuals, but as a community. That's why in his Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus taught a crowd of people, he looked at them and said this, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on a lampstand and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." We don't need to do a lot of things except to first and foremost to walk together in the spirit of love. It's not a wishy-washy dream, but it is a concrete and real calling that God calls us to.